Welcome to Slingstones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
In light of the response that I've received recently to the podcast, What Difference Can I Make?, I thought I would address this issue another time with you. We had talked in that particular podcast about how important it is that we be salt and that we're light in a world that seems to be increasingly wounded and wounding, in a world where there is a lot of darkness that is infiltrated at every single level. And my comment back then is that we particularly see this in the media and with politicians and the vitriol that goes back and forth. So we talked about that, and there were some individuals that responded. And so I thought I would just add a little bit more to that previous conversation. You know, I don't think I would be overstating it to make the comment that we live in a world that is increasingly hostile to the values and virtues of the kingdom of God. Now, I use that word intentionally, hostile, wanting to stamp it out, wanting to marginalize, wanting to minimize, wanting to cast doubt on the values and the virtues of the kingdom of God. Now, this shouldn't surprise us as Christians, because Jesus told us that we would face opposition, that his kingdom is not of this world, and that as he has come to establish a beachhead, a colony of heaven here on earth, that there would be persecution, there would be criticism, there would be opposition. And for many, many years, people were under the impression that the United States was a Christian nation. I think Greg Boyd's book on that is a very good read for all of us, The Myth of a Christian Nation. But increasingly, we can see that there are pervasive attitudes that are anti-theist, that are against Christianity, and that cut right against the virtues and values of the kingdom of God. And so I use the word hostile to the values of the kingdom. And I think it's very important that we recognize this and do not allow these values of the world to subtly begin to influence the way we walk as Christians, the way we respond as Christians. Certainly as a Christian, we are to campaign for justice and to seek reform and to make sure that there are equal rights for all people and that individuals are well cared for. But we don't want to capture the values of this world as the motivating factors that drive our actions. It should be the values of the kingdom of God. I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 10 recently, and there's one line that it kind of stood out to me. It caught my attention. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and Paul says that he is concerned that there are many people in the Corinthian church that are living by the standards of the world. Well, that sets it up, doesn't it? If he's concerned that there are people that are living by the standards of the world, then certainly there are standards of the kingdom of God, and that the standards of the kingdom of God should be evidenced among the people of faith. But Paul was concerned that it was really the standards of the world that were beginning to be evidenced by some of these Christians. Now, what are the standards of the world? Well, we've talked about before that things such as seeking after power and possessions, wanting to be a person of prestige, looking for privilege, performing and pleasing to gain the deep longings of our lives, that these are characteristics of the world. It's not odd to see someone step on someone else as they're ascending the ladder in order that they, in fact, can get what they need. Well, I want to go a little further with this idea of the standards of the world. I want to look at Philippians chapter 2 for a moment, and I want to reverse the admonition of Paul. Paul is talking to Christians. He's telling them that there's a certain way that we should be living. It's a life that should reflect the life of Jesus, our Lord. And I'm going to take what he says, and I'm going to reverse it. And I think it's pretty clear that what he's saying here would be the standards of this world. So the first one would be selfish ambition. When we're always wanting to make sure we get what we need, and we don't care about the degree to which it might be hurting someone else. Paul talks about pride as one of the standards of the world, valuing yourself above others, looking out for your own interests, regardless of the interests of other people. I saw something happen the other day at Walmart that has really captured my attention. It wasn't real busy, and I was in the produce section, and there was a woman over where they have packages of grapes. No one was around, so no one was watching her. And she went and opened all the packages of grapes. She then took all the different bunches of grapes out and set them on the counter where the grapes were. Then she took one of the bags that was now empty, and she began to look to see, now, which bunch of grapes do I want? And she looked at them all, and she'd pick this one. Then she picked the other one. She fixed herself her own bunch of grapes, and then she simply walked away, leaving the mess she created behind. Now, there was no degree to which I think this dear lady was thinking about others and the mess it was going to make for the workers, or the fact that there would be other people coming. And normally what other people do is they simply look and they choose the package of grapes that they want and they take them to the checkout line and buy them and go home. But that woman didn't seem at all concerned about that. The other thing that happened was there was this counter that had containers of strawberries. Now, each container was in a plastic, semi-sealed container, and each of them cost the same amount. All of a sudden, this woman opened up the plastic containers. She would then pull out strawberries she didn't want, set them aside, then open other containers and bring them and put them in that container until she filled hers up, and even saw her, heard her make a comment to a person beside her that they don't fill these containers enough for the price that they're charging. So she made sure her container was filled with the best of strawberries. She sealed it, and then she left. Now, those are small things in a world of violence, in a world of vitriol, in a world where people are attacking one another. But small things, wow, I mentioned it before, seeds grow. And this is an example of not looking out for the interests of others. I want mine. I want mine now. I want the best. And what Paul is saying here is that these standards of the world are not to be the standards of the kingdom of God. We have to grow into standards such as selflessness, valuing other people more than yourself, being humble, caring about the interests of others. And the reason this is so important is because this would be the value of our Lord. And we see this so many times. I mean, Jesus came and what did he do? He laid down his power. He laid down his life. He didn't even consider equality with God something to be desired. He did not use his power for personal gain. And then he wants us to be like that as his followers. That's a hard task in a world where the values that are portrayed every single day are very much different than the values Jesus gives us. I know it's easy for me also to all of a sudden be caught up. What's the best one? What's the one that doesn't have any nicks? What am I going to do to make sure I get the best parking place and I have what I want to move ahead in life? And there's a degree to which that is a subtle influence of the values of the world. And Paul would encourage us to very seriously consider this, that we do not live by the standards of the world. That means our speech, our vocabulary, our generosity, our heart for others should reflect our Lord. Wow, that's no small task in this world, is it? When we begin to hear people shouting each other, candidates putting down one another, calling them names, violence almost being justified. Someone made a comment recently about the fact that in terms of what Representative Scalise experienced, he got what he deserved. What kind of world do we live in that shares these values so publicly, so aggressively? Well, it's the world that Jesus told us about, a world of darkness where things happen in the dark, where there is selfish ambition, pride, valuing yourself above others, and looking out for your own interests and not the interest of others. Well, that's not the kingdom of God that we're part of, is it? And we do need to ask the Lord to help us to embrace the values of the kingdom and to watch for the subtle ways in which the world tries to infiltrate. Paul is making a very important statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He is saying Christians should not be living by the values of the world. Wow, that couldn't be clearer. So we just need to pay a little attention to what the world values and then really look for the opposite in order that we can be salt and we can be light. Now, Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we live in a world that's very different from the kingdom of God, and that in our world, we don't use the weapons of this world as a way of bringing down strongholds. We use weapons that are part of divine power. Now, you may think of weapons in terms of military, in terms of trying to harm people, but it's the opposite in the kingdom of God. We want to be sure that we're the first ones to give the kind word, to reach out with an unselfish act, to extend care for another person, to offer encouragement, to not be reactive, to not condone vitriol and racist statements, but in fact that we are there to represent Jesus Christ. Now, it's very interesting that what Paul says is that the weapons of the kingdom of God can bring down strongholds. Imagine a stronghold where there are all these enemy soldiers, and they have strength there, and they have power there, and they're able to do great damage there. How do we then bring that stronghold down? Paul says, not with the weapons of this world, but the weapons of the kingdom of God that have divine power, and those are some of the smallest things. Things that you can do today, things that I can do today that will make a huge difference in people's lives. Our Lord came and he laid down his life. There at the Last Supper, he sat with his closest followers and he said to them that his body would be like bread broken for others. His blood would be shed, the wine of a new covenant for others. That rather than raising up to wipe people out, he allowed himself to take a posture of weakness in order that others could be set free, in order that others could be saved. That's a very powerful model for us. And that there's something about that that breaks down strongholds. Miroslav Volf is a theologian, and he once said that it takes two acts for evil to win. The first act of evil that's done toward another, and then the evil response toward the first act. And when there's two acts of evil, evil wins the day. But Miroslav Volf suggests that in the kingdom of God, the way to break evil is to not respond with evil. That when the harsh word is spoken, the kind word comes back. When the greedy hand reaches out to take, the generous hand extends itself to give. When the words are words that are meant to demean, that words of respect are given in return. Wow, that's not easy in this world, is it? And yet it's very important that we understand that this is part of what breaks down strongholds. Our whole attitude, are we living by the standards of this world? Or do we understand and live by the principles and virtues and values of the kingdom of God? This world is tough. I mean, there's going to be a lot of temptation that comes our way. To look for mine, or to want more, to be seduced into performance and privilege, more and greater possessions. I've got to tell you a little bit of a story. Sherry and I live on a farm. It's lovely. The home is small, but we really worked hard to make it something comfortable. The land is beautiful. We're very grateful for it, but it is in no way anything elaborate or pristine. And recently I was doing a seminar and had the opportunity to stay at a home where the folks are very loving and very, very generous. And I found myself seeing what they had and beginning to think, I want that too. I began to recollect, maybe I should have, you know, not given as much. Maybe I should have taken an odd job here and there in order that I would have more to get more. And as those words began to come within me, I recognized that a somewhat selfish response was rising up inside, and I needed to do what Scripture says. Let Jesus take that thought captive. You see, that's Paul's admonition. He says, take every thought captive. Make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes I probably haven't even taken a thought captive because I didn't realize that the thought was not in line with the kingdom of God. But boy, if we allow the Holy Spirit to weigh in on this issue, it won't be long before we recognize the degree to which the thoughts we have may not align with Christ. And so what we need to say is, Holy Spirit, take over my thinking. That comes also out of Romans chapter 8, where it says that the mind controlled by the flesh is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So a good test is, am I feeling life? Am I feeling light? Am I feeling peace? Because if I am, I'm probably in line with what the Holy Spirit would want me to be thinking. I'm in line with the virtues and values of the kingdom. But if all of a sudden there's internal turmoil, jealousy, pride, selfishness rising up, then it's pretty clear that those thoughts aren't in line with Jesus. And that's when I need to ask Jesus to bring that thought captive to him. I wonder right now if you would have the courage, and I'm sure you would, to ask the Lord a very simple question. I need to ask it also. Are there any places in my life right now, are there any places in your life right now where you are living by the standards of the world? That's right. I think you're a Christian. You're a person that wants to follow hard after Christ. I believe you want the virtues and values of the kingdom of God to be embraced in the deepest part of who you are. So in this world where so subtly the values of the world begin to leak into our lives, I think it would be a good thing to just stop and say, Lord, is there any place that I'm living by the world's standards? Where my attitudes are more selfish than selfless, where I'm building up my own pride rather than being humble to receive the good gifts that you've given. Are there some places where I'm looking more out for my interest than I am for the interests of other people? Is there anywhere in my life where I value myself as more important than other people? I think it's a very good question to ask, and I think the Holy Spirit will gently reveal it to your life. And when He does, and if you turn, all of a sudden, once again, you are making a difference. You're contributing to light. You're being salt. The word that I think would fit here is that word we've talked about before, the word repent. That if God shows you somewhere where you really embrace the way of the world, just return home, repent, teshuva. Go back to what Jesus would do, where Jesus is. Allow His heart to become your heart. Intentionally invest in the opposite value that the world may be bearing down upon you. I'll be honest, that happens to me. It truly does. There are times in which I am so caught up in what the world has to offer that I forget that I am a member of a colony of heaven, that I live by different values and virtues, that I need to return home when my thoughts need to be taken captive by Jesus. The beautiful thing about Jesus taking a thought captive, He's captivating it in His love, in His tenderness, in His grace, in His care. And so it isn't something that He's going to beat us up with or put us down over, but instead He wants to woo us back to the kingdom of God, to the virtues and values that He displayed that are ours because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Maybe there's an area in your life where right now you frankly need to go home. I want to challenge you. Will you make a commitment with me? Let's do this together. We know the world is spinning out of control in some ways, and that what's happening in our nation is so divisive, and sides are aligning so sharply against one another. Let's ask the Lord to do some work in us. Let's ask the Lord to come into our hearts, to reveal any place where we're living by the standards of the world, as Paul would use that phrase. And then let's embrace the weapons of the kingdom of God, the weapons of virtues and values of kindness and care, of generosity and selflessness. And let's see what God does. I think we'll find that there's more light that comes into us when this happens, that we will feel stronger. And all of a sudden we'll recognize we have a strong rock to rest our lives on. And that rock is Jesus. And He is our Lord and He is our Savior. And He will empower us to walk the way of the kingdom. I hope you have a great day, and may you sense, because it's true, that God's face is shining down upon you today. God bless you. Well, I will have hope. 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 For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness.